The Lord of the harvest is calling, for laborers true in his field. Together the sheaves ere they perish, when mercy no more is revealed. We bask in the sunlight of glory, on heavenly manna we're fed, while so oceans in darkness are starving for life-giving bread. They perish now, yet Jesus to save them has died. God pay them the debt that we owe them, those souls who in darkness abide.
The Mission Trail is on the air. It is my happy privilege to introduce to you the Mission Trail with your speaker, Brother Willie C. Murphy of Guthrie, Oklahoma. Please pray that his ministry may be a blessing to all who hear him. And let us remember the words of the Master as recorded in John 4 and 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest.
They're perishing now, yet Jesus to save them has died. Go pay them the debt that we owe them, those souls who in darkness abide.
And now, here is Brother Murphy.
Thank you, Brother Leslie. A very pleasant greeting to all the listeners of radio station XEG. This is the Mission Trail broadcast of Guthrie, Oklahoma, and your speaker is Willie Murphy, coming to you once again with another gospel broadcast. We want to thank each one who's had a part in helping us to spread this gospel, both by radio and by the printed message. From time to time, we get letters which prove very interesting and give us renewed courage to press our fight against the wrong and proclaim the saving grace of Christ our Savior. It is our plan to share one of these letters with you today, and we believe it will really touch your heart. So please stay tuned for the next 15 minutes, and we believe you will realize even greater the need which is so prevalent in the world today for the gospel. Listen now to this verse from Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 2. I quote, "As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come." It is an easy matter to point out many of the things which are wrong with the people in the world today. We see the results of wickedness abounding on every hand. It is not uncommon to pick up the newspaper and read the story of a tragedy of an automobile accident where a number of lives were lost at one time. Neither is it uncommon to read of some man who chose to kill as many people at one time as he could. We hear of riots in many cities across the country, and we know there are many sad and lonely hearts as a result of sin abounding both far and near. But it is one thing to see the results of a sinful life, and quite another thing to pinpoint the trouble and to get at the motivating factor which may prompt such actions. Notice again our scripture text. It says, "The curse causeless shall not come." Therefore, we may rest assured that if a curse comes upon our beloved nation and the people who inhabit our cities and homes, then there must be a cause for it. This is exactly what I want to speak to you about today. Our forefathers, realizing the evils which result from strong drink, were sufficiently agreed to pass legislation forbidding the sale to the public of whiskey, wine, and strong drink. This was known as the 18th Amendment and was made a part of the Constitution of the United States of America. I am of the opinion that they were absolutely correct in passing such legislation. It is well founded upon the teachings of the Holy Bible, but a good many years ago, this amendment was repealed. Listen to this verse from Isaiah 5:11. It says, "Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them." Listen again to verse 22 of the same chapter. It says, "Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink." We would do well to give heed to these scriptures, for strong drink, wine, whiskey, and related alcoholic beverages are some of the causes which bring the curse upon our nation. Thus, it is largely responsible for much of the trouble which is so prevalent on every hand. Then one might ask the question, if this be true, why do we allow it to be sold? The answer is simple. They tell us we need the money which we derive therefrom in the form of taxes. Yet, it is a known fact that a large percentage of the highway accidents which take many lives each year are caused by drivers who have been drinking. Let me ask you this question. Is it worth it? Much of the money which our nation and states receive from the taxation thereof is quickly swallowed up by the expense which is incurred in trying to control those who are inflamed by this habit of drink. Needless lives are lost, homes are wrecked, and children are left without the proper care and teaching of their parents because of this deadly evil. I say that we cannot measure in dollars and cents the value of morality, righteous living, and happy homes which are wrecked by this evil. Remember the text. It says, "The curse causeless shall not come." This is one of the causes of many troubles which prevail. Then let me point out a second cause. In fact, there is some question whether or not it would be the second or the first cause of many crimes and heartaches. This is the use of narcotics and habit-forming drugs. More and more people each day turn to the use of these things, hoping to find the way out of their problems. Friends, let me warn you here and now, this is not the way out of your problems. This is the gateway by which you enter into a life which goes further and further upon the downward road and will lead you away from those things which will bring happiness and contentment. Many young people who began the use of narcotics by the taking of what seems to them a harmless pill have found themselves overcome by habits which are almost impossible to break. Then, too, these habits do not stop here, for they lead to many related forms of sin into which the user goes deeper and deeper, finding no way to recover himself from the snare of the enemy. Don't forget the text. It says, "The curse causeless shall not come." I believe I am pointing out to you some of the direct causes which create many of the troubles. If these causes can be prevented, then the results will also improve. The third thing, which may seem so small, will undoubtedly prove to be one of the most expensive habits in common use today. It is not only used by grown men, but it is also common among women of all ages. And furthermore, it is used by the teenage boys and girls today of our public schools. That is the use of tobacco. Now, you might say, that's a very small thing. Well, really, it is a small thing, but millions of dollars are spent on this habit annually. And then, let us look at it this way. If it is such a small thing and such a little habit, then why bother to indulge in it at all? Why not just leave it alone and do without the use of tobacco in every form? There are many who would like to do this, but they find it is no easy thing to stop the use of smoking when once it has become a part of their lives. In spite of all the warnings of the American Medical Association, people go right on with its use. Listen now to this heart-touching letter which we recently received from this one for whom we are praying. Patsy is going to read this for you.
September the 1st, 1966. Dear Brother Willie Murphy, will you do me a favor? I have been using tobacco for about 35 or 40 years and know it's a sin. And I want to quit them cigarettes. It can send me to hell and I don't want to go there. Can you print this in your Mission Trail paper for me? Can you print these few lines for me, a lost sinner? A lost sinner wishes to quit tobacco. Perhaps some saint can reach the throne of God and get something done for me. Yours truly, Earl Edward Spencer, 815 Grand Street, Joplin, Missouri.
Thank you, Patsy. We also would like for you to give us a quotation which you have regarding cigarettes.
Cigarettes make the child careless, weaken his conscience, lower his moral standards, cause him to fail in schoolwork, grow disobedient, seek like companions, become untruthful, steal, lose interest in church, which makes him an undesirable citizen.
Let us have an agreement of prayer. Our Father, we pray that you would take the words of the message today, and as some of the causes have been pointed out to those who hear this message, we pray that you would give each one who is bound by these habits the courage and determination to arise and come to thee with a repenting heart, that they may receive the grace to overcome these habits and obtain the joy and pardon of thy forgiveness. Especially do we pray for Earl Spencer in Joplin, Missouri, who realizes the evil of the use of tobacco. We pray that you would give him complete victory over this habit which he has had for 35 or 40 years, and to thee will give the praise through Christ our Savior. Amen. Listen now to the quartet singing, My Sins Are Gone.
You ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. And when I meet the scoffers who ask me where they are, I say, my sins are gone. There underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from death, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. 'Twas at the old-time altar where God came in my heart, and now my sins are gone. The Lord took full possession, the devil did depart. I'm glad my sins are gone.
This message has been brought to you by the Mission Trail of Guthrie, Oklahoma. If you would like a printed copy free of charge, you may have one by simply sending us your request. And now, until next Friday night at 10:45, this is Willie Murphy saying, may God's richest blessings be yours, and a very pleasant good night.
I'm happy night and day because my sins are gone. My soul is filled with music. With all my heart I say, I know my sins are gone.